Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Grimsley, Randy Carricker, opening drive, 101 ESPN, your home of St. Louis Blues hockey. And the season is complete. It ended last week. And then right after the season ended, Doug Armstrong had his end of season press conference. Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN, joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Randy, I am good. Had a great weekend down in Louisville, Kentucky with sports. How about this? The Parkway West varsity girls lacrosse team, who came down to this, there's this great Braveheart lacrosse tournament they participated in for years. They did not win a game last year, so they didn't make it to the final game. This year they didn't lose a game. So Coach Leverchek and then the team won the tournament. So St. Louis took home the tournament in Louisville for Parkway West Varsity Girls Lacrosse. And then the 2010 AFA Philly Ruffians had a soccer tournament down here on the same weekend and won there. So a great weekend of youth sports, if it wasn't for stupid parents, and the results on the field were good.
Kerbs, that's great to hear. And I so admire your allegiance to and concern for youth sports in the area. And you're all about it. And I'm glad that you're involved and got a chance to be part of it this weekend.
Randy, listen, I'll tell you something. So the soccer game yesterday, if you guys give me a second here, we're talking youth, we're talking 14-year-old girls soccer, okay? Mm-hmm. It was a very physical game. And girls, they're aggressive. It's just, I mean, frankly, it's fun to watch if you're a hockey fan. I got to tell you this. Right? But, you know, the sidelines, frankly, on both sides, and I very rarely stand on the sidelines. I'm like 15 yards back, and I'm away from most parents. The sidelines were just atrocious. You know, one of our kids ran into one of their kids, got a yellow card. It was a legit yellow card. Some parents were yelling at the refs. They're like, hey, like, guys, that's a yellow card. My daughter gets taken down, you know, she's just an aggressive player. She gets taken down, you know, in front of the other parents, and a grown man, the refs had to eventually stop play here. A grown man stood over a 14-year-old kid, looks down, and says, that's how you do it. Keep taking them down.
Oh, man.
And you're like, what the hell is wrong with people? Like, it gets to the point where you wonder why we don't have refs. We don't have good coaches. We don't have, like, and it's because of this. I mean, we had a parent on our side yell across the field to a referee that it was offside. Again, 14-year-old soccer, the play was offside. The referee had to yell back, knock it off. And you're like, this is just stupid. And it's insane. And the kids, I mean, the kids play physically. The kids play rough. They get it, but they respond to how way parents respond. And I tell you, we got to get better, and you got to realize what the heck this is about. And it's kids, and it's youth sport, and it's, Jesus, it's 14-year-old soccer. Like, it was just, it just blows my mind. I don't know what is wrong with some people. I mean, stand over a 14-year-old girl and say, that's how you do it. Keep taking them down. Unbelievable, just wrong behavior. And they almost had to clear the sidelines yesterday. It's embarrassing and wrong. And I keep bringing it up, Randy, because we need people aware of it to keep things calm. It's just, it's stupid. I'm kind of at a loss for words beyond that with what I saw.
No, that is really shocking. And it is a huge issue because you need refs out there. And it starts at home, right, Kerbs? I think that's the biggest thing there, is that it starts at home with making sure that you're doing the right thing as a parent.
Listen, I was putting it out on Twitter a little bit today. I think it comes down to respect, Brooke.
Yes.
I mean, look, guys, we work in pro sports. And officiating is tough. And, yeah, I'll get on refs at an NHL level, but we're talking pros at a different level here. Okay. When we're talking youth sports, we're talking moms and dads. We're talking people making $25 a game that are giving up entire days and giving up entire weekends, you know, to make a little extra money and to do their best. And are some good? Absolutely not. You know, and where you do get frustrated as a parent, and I get it, is when things get out of hand and you start to worry about the safety, like some of the rough stuff. And but there's ways to do it. We can put that energy into helping these officials, organizations with better training. We can put resources into it. We can put effort. We can put support in there. But the behavior on the sidelines and just continues to blow my mind. And I wonder why it continues to get worse. I don't know if it's the pay-to-play formula. I don't know if it's the amount of money parents are spending for travel tournaments, all this other stuff, or local. It's just the temperature has to calm down. And every now and then, if you step back and you look around and you see how many kids are playing, right? You realize, guys, that's just like an hour of their day, and most of the time when you get them back in the car, the next thing they're talking about is whose friend's house they're going to or what's going on. I mean, listen, I drove down Friday with four of Ava's teammates in the car, and I had to look at the dad I was driving with because at one point in time we're hearing them doing hand farts and armpit farts, right? And then at dinner that night they were talking about which movie, like when they were kids, which Barbie movie was their favorites, and we're looking at each other going, he's the same group of kids who were doing hand farts in the car. Like, I mean, that's the fun that we're having with this kind of thing. And then you see the sideline stuff and you're like, that's insane. So I'm just keep imploring on people. Please get it real. Like, get a grip and be smart, because there's so many great lessons that you should be learning about teamwork and teams. And yes, winning and losing is a part of it, but you learn about that too. And just keep perspective.
It all comes back to manners and respect. Well, now we got to talk about some Blues, because it was great seeing you the other day over at Centene for the Blues end of season yep. presser. And there was a lot of takeaways with the conversations with the players. And of course, we heard from Doug Armstrong and we heard from Drew Bannister. But the thing that I kept hearing, especially from the players over and over again, is that they felt like they weren't too far off from where they should be. So what do you believe is the missing piece that they could address this offseason to really complete this for them and push them over the edge of what they're talking about, Kurt?
Well, I think that's positive thinking at the end of a season. I mean, you realize you missed the playoffs by just the difference of probably three games, winning three games in regulation. When they say they're not far off, I think that it's redeveloping an attitude. And look, when you start to rely on younger players, you've got to get them to figure out how to win. They've got to get the buy-in. And you saw the kind of buy-in that Jake Neighbors had very quickly. If you get that kind of buy-in from Bolduc and Dean and maybe Dvorsky, and over the next year or two, Snuggerud or maybe Lindstein or Stenberg, those kind of things, it can be a big difference. But the one thing we know, Brooke, is this about Doug Armstrong. Doug Armstrong believes that, and he knows that all these draft picks and all these prospects that they have, not all of them are going to play for the St. Louis Blues. If there's an opportunity for him to move a process forward and get a good player, you know, and we've seen these kind of trades from him over the years, he's going to do that. And so a couple pieces, I think they're more than just a couple pieces, but I think you're encouraged by the fact that you've got outstanding goaltending. You've got a good anchor on a defensive core, and you've got some good middle-aged and young talent, you know, on the forward side. It's just a matter of putting it together and getting a few more depth pieces that were more consistent, I think, than you had this year. And if you do that, then yeah, they're going to stay competitive while they're working through the glitches.
Kerbs, you can't keep everybody, but you saw when Dakota Joshua was here, he kind of fit what Berube wanted, and he had a really good start. Not that he's a superstar player, but he's one of those playoff fourth line kind of guys that the Blues had in 2019, and I'm glad to see him doing well with Vancouver. A couple of goals last night and an assist, and he was the number one star of the game against Nashville.
Yeah, and you know what? He's such a nice young man. One of the first phone calls we had with him, the respect level and the way he could speak about the game and his passion and his love of his mom and what his mom meant to him and what she did for him to get him, you know, through college at Ohio State to play there and stuff. It's fantastic, and that was a heck of a game. There were two pretty amazing games in the Western Conference last night with Winnipeg and Colorado, and then Vancouver coming from behind on Nashville. But you're talking a few years separated. You're talking growth. And what he did, Randy, is he ended up signing with Vancouver and he ends up becoming a part of that growing core. Well, that style of play that he brought is something that Rick Tocchet could lean on to get the rest of the team to understand how he wanted to play. So he became kind of a growth piece and a leader from that standpoint. And I think a little bit of the toe to Joshua is something that the Blues need even a little bit more of here. And Alexei Toropchenko, I think, is going to kind of fit that role to a bit. And I think he's growing into it just fine. And I love it when he speaks. I mean, we should put a microphone in front of Alexei Toropchenko more often because he speaks from the heart and he normally says the right things. That's the kind of player, if we go back to the Blues, of kind of how you get through is you just get guys that start to play that right way and more come in. But, yeah, nice, neat to see him go there. That was a heck of a comeback for Vancouver there after Nashville had taken a 2-1 lead. And that is going to be an absolute battle and a challenge for Vancouver, who's getting some first real-world experience in the playoffs.
Curbs, you've been doing this for a long time, but you do spend 8.5 months of your year getting ready for the next game, going to the rink, and from your perspective, with your job, you have to be involved every day. But just in terms of the season, it seems like you decompress pretty quickly making the drive to Louisville. Do you do that? Do you decompress from the season pretty quickly?
Well, I didn't have a choice because – dude, no, this is, listen, and Randy, you've been a sports fan, you understand, this was wild. We had a youth soccer tournament, a totally separate lacrosse tournament, all in Louisville on the same weekend where your daughter's going to school who was wrapping up her classes, so I was able to stay one more in your home today. Like, that's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've just gotten to a point, Randy, where you realize just how many more important things in life there are that sometimes than just game. And what we do for a living is all-encompassing, like you said, for 8.5 months. You know, but there's a lot of other life that still happens around you. And for me, what I've learned to do to decompress is I typically get a project in mind. And on day one of the off season, I just jump right into that project. And it might just be, it could be an outdoor clean the bushes. It could be something, but just something to get me going. Because to go like we do, as long as you do, and then all of a sudden to find free time and idleness, I've struggled with that forever. So we keep it going. We just go high energy and then, enjoy watching the playoff games. And that's the other thing real quick. Like, my dad taught me a long time ago that you've got to learn to enjoy the game because you're not going to always win. Like, I can sit down and enjoy Cardinal baseball right now, even though they're struggling, right? And I can do that. I watched both, the Colorado and Winnipeg game last night, followed by Nashville and Vancouver, and thoroughly enjoyed the sport. And that's where I'm at, and I'm loving it.
Curbs, have a great day. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon, all right?
You guys are awesome. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother. See you. That is Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN.